Shopify presents cool sheets from aha to
lying awake while you bake isn't cool. I suffered from the wrong kind of hot in bed, heat-induced insomnia. That was my aha moment. Bed sheets that keep you cool. Then I thought, how do I even sell bed sheets? That's when I had the idea that made it all possible, signing up on Shopify. With the help of Shopify's intuitive online store creator, I started selling sustainable bamboo sheets that keep cool year-round. And my cool idea became a reality. Hot sleepers around the world rejoice. Shopify makes it simple to keep your cool while starting and growing your business. Start selling with Shopify today and join the commerce platform powering millions of businesses worldwide. From aha to anything is possible.
This is Possibility, powered by Shopify. Start selling online today. Sign up for a free trial at shopify.com/free22. shopify.com/free22.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org. As you know, with a new year sometimes comes a few changes. A change for us is that we'll be taking a hiatus in several markets at the beginning of the new year. Denver, Atlanta, Portland, Little Rock, Orlando, and Tampa. At the start of 2023, we will not be broadcasting in these radio markets. However, if you are in those cities, you can still listen to What's Right, What's Left online at thewordcleveland.com. That's thewordcleveland.com. Cleveland, as you know, is our home market. We expect that this hiatus will be temporary, but we need to take a hiatus while we catch up on a few bills. We are a donor-supported ministry, so thank you to those of you who have been supporting us from those cities. And we look forward to getting back with you on the radio in those cities as soon as possible.
Okay, I just wanted to say again, folks, the cutoff day is actually the 25th of January, 25th of this month. We still have 20 days. They're going to be looking, if we can get enough response from you folks out there, they're going to be looking for what stations they come from. We can stay. Believe me, they really don't want to take us off because it's just a lot of trouble for them. And but they got to get, I've got to really bring in some donations. So it's up to you. If you want to keep us, then you know our address. Joe, give them the address again.
Sure. It's WRWL Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road. It's 14781 Sperry, Sperry Road, Newberry, Newbury, Ohio, 44065. And it's also there on the web, wrwl.org.
All righty. Folks, there's no quitting us. I mean, Joe and I definitely, you may have noticed, we're not spring chickens anymore. But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, we're gonna fight
Joe. We weren't spring chickens 20 years ago, Pastor.
Yeah, I'll leave it at that. Anyhow, here, folks, about a month ago, Joe, you remember, I played a clip with a woman. Her name was Sasha Latipova, and I'm going to play, along with that, Laura Logan and a fellow named Sam Dube. Now, they weren't in the first one, but I'm going to play maybe 15 or 20 minutes of this. It's very, very, very important that you listen to this, folks. You find out what's really behind this COVID assault attack on America, folks. It's the enemy. They are the enemy. But go ahead and play the clip, fellas.
I think it's the pharmaceutical companies that are doing their own research on their own, you know, under their own steam. And then you find out, actually, this is a DOD-managed program. And so this is a fundamental shift in understanding for the public. And so I just want you, Sasha, to have an opportunity to show the actual basis of it so that it can't just be dismissed.
Absolutely. So those are great points, because this is exactly where I am in the presentation. So even before we talk about Department of Defense, I think very few people realize that the National Security Council was in charge or is in charge of COVID policy and not the Health and Human Services. So that was a very strange response to public health, what was presented as a public health event to us, to put National Security Council in charge of COVID policy. So National Security Council is an executive forum for foreign policy and national security to the President of the United States, and it does not include health-related agencies as normal attendees. And regular attendees, as you can see listed here, include a lot of defense, so Vice President, Secretary of State, Secretary of Treasury, Secretary of Defense, Assistant to the President for National Security Affairs, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and Director of National Intelligence. So the attendees of this National Security Council are primarily defense and intelligence. It has nothing to do with health, and health public health agencies do not participate in
this. So this would indicate... this would indicate to me, and I wonder if you asked anyone this question, that from the very beginning, the United States government knew that this was a bioweapon attack.
Absolutely.
This was not a health emergency, that it was a security, a national security emergency.
Absolutely, they did. And actually, recently, their article came out with another set of documents and contracts awarded by the Department of Defense to vendors who were doing work for them in Ukraine 3 months before the global pandemic was announced. And those contracts were specifically for COVID-19 research.
Yeah, it's really stunning, the picture that it begins to present, right? Because what it tells us is, well, and first of all, that we were denied this information. The public was never told that. Part of the problem here is, we want our intelligence agencies and the Department of Defense to recognize if there is an attack on this country. But finding out that months in advance you're doing commissioning this kind of research, that when this hits, you don't tell the country that there is a national security imperative to this, and then you allow the impression to persist that the health agencies are dealing with this because it's a health emergency, you're deceiving the people. Of this country. You're deceiving our leaders. You're deceiving doctors and nurses, the whole medical community. I mean, everybody is deceived by this.
Absolutely. Remember at the beginning, you were not even allowed to question the narrative that this was a zoonotic or some sort of naturally.
Yes. Some zoonotic where it went from animals to humans. Yes.
Right.
In the bat market, right?
Yeah. In the Wuhan in wet market, this was a zoonotic, totally natural evolution of virus jumping from animal to human. And you were not even able to question it at all at the beginning. They were suppressing and hiding this information. So now we have the set of facts. The DOD knew, they awarded work for this several months before this pandemic emerged. Then they knew that this was not natural, and they knew this was a biowarfare agent being deployed, and then they covered it up and pretended it was a zoonotic origin virus. So that's a set of facts that's indisputable here.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
And one other thing here, Alera, that you have to note is also the secrecy surrounding the ingredients of the vaccine, because the intellectual property is protected by these protocols laid out here. It actually protects other organizations and the taxpayer from knowing what's in these vaccines, isn't it? The injections, isn't that correct, Sasha?
Yes, correct. So under that other transaction authority, as I mentioned before, that allows them to not only hide the IP from the U.S. government overall, but basically DOD can now hide the technology and IP from, let's say, for example, FDA or HHS in general. So there's a lot of secrecy that's enabled by this.
Why the secrecy, do you think?
The secrecy is because it's their own. So I strongly believe, my opinion, given all these facts today, is that DOD is together with other government agencies, U.S. government agencies, are running this biowarfare against American people and against people of the world themselves. That's why they wanted to cover it up for so long, because they built this biowarfare agent, they deployed it, and then they deployed the injections So it's a two-part biowarfare agent. So they deployed initial part, which is probably not as effective because we know that biological agents, they denature and outside and they're not very effective, don't affect a lot of people. But the most effective part is when you inject somebody with it. And so that was the whole plan. They needed to, people line up voluntarily, get injected. And that's why they play acted this whole thing for several years like this.
So Sasha, to be clear, you're saying that the original virus was mm-hmm. created as a bioweapon by the U.S. government.
It looks like, yes, it looks like. A heavy enrollment of U.S. government, including contracts that we have identified.
So which contracts are those specifically?
Well, the ones that were just recently published, the award in Ukraine specifically to work on COVID research and countermeasures. The contracts that I have in my possession for the COVID countermeasures themselves, they go back at least to 2012. Those are the same contracts that have been used to develop these so-called vaccines, but they go back many, many years.
And I know we're going to go continue with the slide presentation, but my last mm-hmm. question on this slide is, do you have any indication as in your research of who was leading this?
Well, so one of the definitely on the Moderna side, there's also a contract or material transfer agreement and confidentiality agreement that has been published recently. I have it. And that one is between NIAID, and it specifically states that NIAID is the co-owner of the Moderna vaccine. They also have two IND, investigational new drug application numbers, which I've noted a long time now, and I've been publishing about it. One of them belongs to Moderna, one of them belongs to NIAID. So they're definitely co-owners. They definitely transferred material before. So in late 2019, they transferred Moderna vaccine candidates. And the signatories on that is Moderna, Ralph Baric. There's a bunch of people. So people from NIAID, obviously Anthony Fauci, heavily involved. So they are co-owners of these injections. They have been developing them way before we were told that they've made them. Oh, over the weekend, you know, somebody gave us a code and we designed it over the weekend. You know, that's just nonsense.
Okay, so just to remind people that NIAID is the National Institute. It's for Infectious Diseases.
Yes.
And is that not where Dr. Fauci's wife works?
Yes, I believe so. And he is... he's also obviously NIH. So he has
he's National Institutes of Health over all of this. And so what it effectively means is that the very health experts that were pushing these vaccines on everybody, who said things like, let's not forget, right, that this is mm-hmm. the plague of the unvaccinated mm-hmm. when they were trying to force everyone to take this. And then had to admit later that when they said it would prevent transmission of the disease, that was a lie. When they said that it would keep you healthier, you know, that you wouldn't get as sick, we now know that that was a lie, and so on mm-hmm. and so on, right?
Yeah, but they needed to scare people initially with this, oh, it's a viral pandemic. It's this naturally evolved, scary super virus that's going to kill, you know, half the world's population if you don't get this vaccine. And then they had to suppress the hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin and early treatments in order to maintain this lie so that they could get more people dead or more people sick. Remember, they pushed all this into the nursing homes again to make sure that there will be more deaths that could be coded as COVID and drive this propaganda and nightmare. And people were really terrified. And people were terrified and they were told, oh, but don't worry, we're making this vaccine. It's going to be magical. And then everyone lined up to get injected. You know, so that's a perfect plan. And you can see the whole pre-planning, you know, unfolding in these contracts and how they set it up.
Mentioned Fauci and you mentioned Ralph Baric. Can you explain who Ralph Baric is?
Well, Ralph Baric is a professor at the University North Carolina, Chapel Hill. And he was heavily involved. In fact, he's also mentioned in Moderna documents that I have reviewed their non-clinical studies that were supposed to be done before human trials initiated, but of course that didn't happen that way. And I found a lot of problems with those animal studies. And specifically, they also mentioned Ralph Baric, who provided a mouse-adapted version of SARS-CoV-2 for their experiments. And that's in the same place where they're saying, oh, this is so novel. There are no animal models. But hey, you know, Ralph Baric has this mouse-adapted one already. And so when did he have time to develop a mouse-adapted SARS-CoV-2?
And who was paying for it? Because he had contracts. The Department of Defense was paying for it, right?
Yes.
They were sending their contracts to Ralph mm-hmm. Baric at Chapel Hill University, and mm-hmm. also Eco Alliance, right?
Peter Danzig. Eco Health Alliance, yeah.
Eco Health Alliance.
Yeah.
You see their name in the documents too?
There's a lot of names attached to those documents. Oh, then another person everybody should know is Barney McClellan. I forget his academic affiliation, but he's also on those material transfer agreements because he's a key IP holder of what's in these bioweapon shots. So he may be one of the few people who actually know exactly what's in them. So that whole operation, Eco Health Alliance, of course, is heavily involved. They received a lot of grants from the U.S. government, from NIH and from DARPA to develop a bat coronavirus vaccine. So they're in their documents, they're saying, you know, we're going to be vaccinating the bats. The bats that live 1,300 miles from Wuhan, by the way, in caves.
Yes.
There are
yes.
no people around. But for some reason, desperately, Ralph Baric needs to vaccinate those bats. And the way he was going to vaccinate them is through gels that they can eat, that they will be put next to the, you know, bat cave so that when they're flying in, they can eat that gel and spread it around. Through aerosol sprayers that would be also installed in the cave when they're flying back and forth and get sprayed with this particular concoction. And, you know, some other formulations of the same thing. So that begs the question, were the bats a model for something like a city where people commute, go in and out, go to work, come back, get sprayed, some gel gets distributed so it's on their hands? You know, I have all these questions that I think somebody needs to answer.
So won't you please continue with your presentation, Sasha? Thank you.
Okay. So this is just a confirmation of a previous slide. As I said, the policy was set up by the National Security Council. This is from government's document, which was updated and very heavily revised between the 2018 and then 2020. Where they put all this structure in place saying that the policy for COVID coordination response should be set by the National Security Council. The original declaration of the public health emergency was done under the Stafford Act, which was never used before. And this was used to put FEMA in charge, so, you know, as a figurehead, serving in the role of a public health incident. And that was a perfect figurehead because FEMA has never had any plans for managing public health events or pandemics in the United States. And so that makes them a perfect figurehead because they have no idea what they're doing. And so somebody else can manipulate everything else.
Wow.
Okay. So, and HHS, as opposed to in the 2018 version of the plan, they were in charge of the public health emergencies, which is reasonable, their health agency. But now, all of a sudden, they're not. They're involved heavily in various activities, and most of them have to do with information control and propaganda. Obviously, they're pretending that this is a public health emergency. They need to play act as if it's one, and they have been doing
yes.
that.
They need to control the message.
They need to control the message. So in collaboration with their media,
propagandists.
Yeah.
With their propagandists masquerading as journalists.
Yes, exactly. That's what they've been doing all along. They have been pretending that this is a public health event where, in fact, it's a biowarfare deployment in the United States by the United States government. And here's the organizational chart from this document that's been...
All righty, we're back. You see, remember, Joe, we told people about this before. And all of these things, all the information, remember, from the very start of this COVID. Remember, from the very start, the very first, before anybody had taken any shots, remember we were telling them, and we had Wendy on here talking about this vaccine that they're talking about has never been tested on people. It was tested on eight animals, and they have all died. They all died, right. Remember? Mm-hmm. And this is
sure
before,
do.
Yeah.
Well, you and I for years have been talking about how all of this is about the world order wanting to reduce the world's population.
Yep.
Now, remember just a few minutes ago, I was talking about Earth Day and how it was Lenin's birthday, and one of the founders was Paul Ehrlich, a college professor.
Yep.
Well, he wrote a book in 68 about the population bomb, about how the world was going to starve to death because we couldn't feed hundreds of millions of people no matter what we did. He went on and talked about we have to make brutal, heartless decisions to solve the problem. And he said humanity is a cancer uncontrolled multiplication of cells. The population explosion is an uncontrolled multiplication of people. We have to shift our efforts from treatment to cutting out the cancer, in other words, killing off people. The operation will demand many apparently brutal and heartless decisions. We have to control the population, even if it has to be by compulsory methods. And he goes on and on about, at the same time, they were talking about how the world was cooling. And I'm looking at articles from Newsweek and things back in 1975. They were talking about how we've been looking at the weather reports in the last 40 years. The temperatures are cooling, and there's going to be this horrible cold spell. Climate change is coming, and it's going to bring upon famine and fears, and it's going to be catastrophic, and we've got to give the government all kinds of power, or the world's going to starve to death. And they gave quotes from doctors and PhDs from the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric, talking about how we dropped a half degree in temperature and on. Everything is about fear, about people dying. We've got to lower the world's population because we can't feed it. That was the consensus from 1970 on. We must get rid of people. We must destroy mankind, in other words, so the few can live. And that's been what's been going on since I was old enough to understand and look at the news. We've got to kill people off and reduce the world's population. And that's why you and I call it the Antichrist system. They must destroy the image of God, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've been, and remember, too, all this time, going all the way back in those days, even back in the 80s when they were doing this and talking about how we were going to be underwater, you know, that all of New York City was going to be underwater. And we told you when they, you know, after the freeze, then it came then it was global warming. And we said, look.
Yeah, then it changed to global warming. Well, just a couple of quickies. Way back
yeah, but
when
Joe,
they
Joe,
were talking about, since 1871, all of the warmest ocean temps occurred before 1950. And yet they've been telling us it's the warming of the ocean, the warming of the earth. And over the last 100 years, there has been no change in the long-term trend of hurricane, number of hurricanes, size of hurricanes, and all the warmer ocean temperatures occurred before 1950. Everything they've said is a lie compared to the truth. The other was starting back in 1919.
Remember,
they said we were running out of oil, and the world's oil production would peak in 9 years. And then in 1943, we were running out of oil, and on 1970s, the world's total supply of oil would be consumed in just a matter of years. And we now know we have more oil today than we've ever had in history. Another big environmental lie trying to scare people. We know now that they
Joe, back, back. Joe, all the way back in the late 70s, we had on the radio program, we had geologists. There was a group, it was probably one of the biggest groups of geologists in the country. They had something like 14 geologists at this one, working in this one office or whatever. But anyhow, we had them on the radio program, and they told you that, remember back in those days, they were being told that millions and billions and trillions of years ago, all of these dinosaurs decided to go and die and then form a big pile of dead dinosaurs, and they turned into oil. Well, these right. geologists says, we've always known that the earth, okay, that makes the oil. The earth makes the oil, okay? It's not this hordes of dead dinosaurs, as you're told. It's the earth itself produces oil. So
methane gas we under told heat people and back pressure then. Turns into natural gas and oil.
We also told something, too. We were the very first people out there to say that it's not SUVs. It's not SUVs, but it's the sun that heats the earth. It's the right. sun that heats the earth. And we did an experiment. We went right out there on the concrete, and there was concrete in the sunlight and concrete in the shade. And we took the temperatures, and the concrete in the sunlight was 20 degrees hotter than the concrete that was in the shade. And we knew for a fact then that it was the sun that heats the earth, not SUVs. We also
exactly.
remember.
Exactly. Well, we were the first people to talk about, look at history. And we told them about how the Vikings lived, you know, a couple centuries ago on Greenland, and they were raising sheep and goats. They were growing wheat. And now they're worried that Greenland, the ice cap that covers Greenland is melting. Well, you know, in the 1700s, they were growing wheat there, and people were living there. And it's actually got a lot cooler after that, not warmer. And the Vikings finally left because it got too cold. They couldn't raise their animals. They couldn't grow the grain and the grass to feed their flock and the wheat to make their bread, and they moved south. I mean, this is a historical fact, and yet it took a radio program ours to tell people the truth about history. You know, the history that's
here's
no
something
longer
that's more
the
historic.
Public pool system.
That's more historical. There's something that's more historical, and this is... You know, we taught people about when they were talking about the glaciers were going to melt and all of New York were going to be underwater. But we told them, look, there's a simple experiment. You go get two glasses, fill them full water, put an ice cubes in one and none in the other, but make sure that the water line on both the glasses are the same. And guess what happened? You see those ice cubes that are floating up above? When they melted, Joe, the water line didn't move at all, not a bit, okay? Because the water from the melting ice only replaced the ice cubes itself in the water. And that's exactly what happens with these glaciers. If they all melt, it's not going to raise the ocean any at all, Joe, none, okay? And so,
well, just back in 2019, the left, the scientists were saying there was going to be a 50-foot sea rise because of the global warming, that even if we were to stop the warming right now, that the sea would continue to rise, and it could rise as much as 50 foot. Some of them were even saying, in the past the sea was higher. And they said, well, the least it could be is 26 inches rising. This was in 2019, and predicting with just a few years. Well, we're now 2023, and the oceans aren't rising. So apparently you and the ice cubes know more than these scientists at the liberal universities.
You don't forget, remember, when they said that the ice was going to melt and the polar bears would drown, we were the first to tell you polar bears can swim, so they won't drown, right?
Yeah, they swim for days and without touching land. They swim for hundreds of miles.
And you know what else?
The truth. Well, you know,
remember
today,
when?
Here's something totally different. Today in history, back in 1965, LBJ touted the utopian Great Society in his State of the Union address. He was going to, you know, solve all kinds of the world's problems. We would have this great society because of government and government handouts. And in fact, we did a story a few years ago, about 7 years ago, that the Great Society had spent almost $1.5 trillion. We have more poverty today than we did in 1965 when Lyndon Johnson founded the Great Society. Back then, more black families were intact, more blacks were working, the income was higher, all kind of education levels better. And since Great Society, more blacks are in poverty, their income level compared to the rest of society is down.
It's called equity. We'll be
down. You know,
we'll be back right after this with more. A little girl lay dying. She was only 8 years old. She said, "I want to see the preacher." So they left them alone. "Will you make me a promise?" She said, as he walked in. He said, "Tell me what I can do." She said this to him.
The pain that he had to bear. Tell mom and dad about heaven above. Heaven, they can see me there. Tell mom and dad about Jesus. Tell them all you've done for them. Tell mom and dad about Jesus, please. So I'll see them.
She said, "I know I'm dying, but that's not why I'm sad. I know I'll go to heaven, but what about mom and dad?" I told them about Jesus, but I could not make them see. So when they come to my funeral, would you do this for me?
Tell mom and dad about Jesus and all the pain that he had to bear. Tell mom and dad about heaven above. Tell them they can see me there. Tell mom and dad about Jesus. Tell them what he's done for.
She said they dropped me off at Sunday school, and I'm so glad they did. But how great it would have to be in a church service with them. She said, "Promise me you'll tell them." As she faded off to sleep, he said, "Sweetheart, don't worry. That's a promise that I'll keep."
Tell mom and dad about Jesus and all the pain that he had to bear. Tell mom and dad about heaven above. Tell them they can see me there. Tell mom and dad about Jesus. Tell them what he's done for them. Tell mom and dad about Jesus, please, so I'll see them again. Tell mom and dad about Jesus, please, so I'll see them.
Alrighty, we are back, and we have 5G. There's an article here by Ed Dowd. Remember, Ed, we used to have him on the radio program, and we talked a little bit about this last week. 7,500 Americans are killed or disabled each day as vax jabs take heavy toll. USA imploding under decivilization assault. 5G is a weapon system designed to kill people, says weapons expert Mark Steele. And so, I'm gonna get into more into this later on. But folks, again, we right from day one warned you about this. And you notice some of those out there who thought they were doing right, who didn't pay attention, who were pushing the vax, like Franklin Graham and others. You notice you don't hear anything from them now. It's hard to keep the body count down. But NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, NPR, they're doing the best they can not to talk about the body count. But we're going to open the phone lines and take some calls at 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673. The phone lines are open. And let's go to Massachusetts. We got Jeff out in Massachusetts. You're in the air.
Oh, thank you, Pastor. Pastor, I was just watching a video of how a rattlesnake eats a mouse, and I'll tell you where this is going. Red China is poisoned America, eat and swallowing America piece by piece. That's what's happening. All this stuff with global warming, all this stuff with the vaccines. The thing is just simply the communist countries eating our lunch. And we've been so poisoned, we've been so anesthetized that we don't even know that we're three quarters of the way down the hatch. And then there's a point of no return for a nation. It's just that simple. And I see it with the younger people. The younger people depend on that Twitter, that iPhone for everything. No critical thinking skills. People are not going to be worried about global warming when the power grid gets taken out. You're seeing the beginning of the power grid getting taken out. I believe there's a beta test myself with the four substations getting taken down in Washington State and others getting taken down. Just a beta test. And you know what? People, don't be surprised if the radios go down when the power grid goes down. And you see, why have people let themselves get deceived in believing that everything is okay? Because in Boston, people just giggling and having fun and having a good time and could absolutely care less and vote for the communists at the same time. Why is that, Pastor?
My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. And that's exactly what the problem is. It's ignorance. No place in the Beatitude does it say blessed are the stupid. That's what's being taught out there in the public education system today. And the reason is they don't have discernment. The answer to that question is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Read that chapter, and you'll find out that they don't have discernment. They don't understand their all of those that hate God love death. All of those that hate God love death. And so that's what you have, Jeff.
No, that makes a lot of sense. But you see, people can pick up a book. Unsaved people can pick up a book and read it. It does. What kind of effort does it even take to do a little research? I mean, yeah. You know, there are even unsaved people out there that know what's going on. People like Dr. Simone Gold and people like that. They know what's going on. Great people, by the way.
But, for 50 but years, Jeff.
What?
For 50 years, you know. Noah preached 120 years, but for 50 years we've been warning. We've been sending out the warning for 50 years on the air, okay? And some people it has. For example, we've got numerous calls from people saying, you know, that, you know, when we first started talking about the poisonous poke, some of them heeded it and they listened to it, and they're calling us and telling us that we truly believe we saved their life, because we've had a couple situations where family members refused to take it, and the ones that took it have died. You know, a number of cases like this taking place. Even in our church, relatives of people that attend our church, and one fellow that was attending the church, who not very often, but when he did, he took it, and he died. But we warn and we warn and we warn. We warn people back in the 70s about the public school system. And I can't tell you how many mothers I've had call me and tell me how they wish they had listened, because they sent their children to public schools. They sent them to the secular colleges, and they've taken all their faith away. I mean, just taken all of the fact they don't even want their parents to be with their grandchildren and witness to them and tell them about the Lord Jesus. They don't believe there's a God, because that's what the public education system did to them.
Whatever faith Massachusetts did have pretty much lost that faith about 100 years ago. We have a remnant in Massachusetts.
Yeah, I know. I was there a few years ago, and I spoke to them. They were quite a good patriotic crowd.
I mean, they're there, and Massachusetts has gotten better in some ways. But practically speaking, I mean, Massachusetts is pretty much like 1 or 2 degrees of separation between Massachusetts and France or England. I mean,
I hear you, Jeff. I have to move on. I've got
no problem, Pastor. No,
all the lights. Bye-bye. Thanks for calling. Who do we have next?
All right, John in Cleveland.
John, you're in the air.
Yes, I commend you and others for the good work in exposing this death jab and its connections to the corrupt, lying, big pharma centers of corruption in this society, buying off the media, buying off the politicians, buying off the CDC, the FDA, and the NIH. But at the same time, I think you're going in the opposite direction and canceling much of that good by actually claiming such things, for instance, that Paul Ehrlich, and he's a no-good lying SOB. I remember myself, I'm an old man now, with all this drivel that he was peddling about overpopulation going to be the end of the humanity. It's all a lie. But the important thing is, I was reading things within the left, the real left, not the Democrats, that's ridiculous, the socialists and the communists. Whenever I'd go to an anti-war demonstration, they were passing out their leaflets, even though they were a minority among the anti-war groups. And they were adamantly, the earliest and most adamant opponents of this overpopulation claim. I think this, and I recommend another source, of course, I always do, globalresearch.ca. and thegrayzone.com, because this is like a compendium of all of the honest doctors and epidemiologists, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny and Dr. Malone, Dr. Yeadon, vice president of Pfizer, absolute horse's mouth insiders condemning the vaccines. Robert Malone, the inventor of the mRNA vaccine, condemning it. And these people are censored from the media. You only find them on
every single one that you just mentioned. We've had on this radio program every single one.
Very good work there, but I'm just saying that on the other hand, the other deadly merchants of death lobby is the military industrial complex, and they have fed us into the grinder of war for their profits around the world for 100 years. And they've used as their arson accelerant.
They're doing it right now, and they're the ones behind this whole thing in Ukraine. But I have to, because they're laughing. Actually, they had a party last week. They actually had a party celebrating the war. But I've got to go. We have the lines are all lit. Thanks for calling, Jen.
Pastor, we have Christy in New York.
Christy, you're in the air.
Pastor Ernie, Pastor Joe, and Mr. John McTiernan. You three gentlemen, God be with you, because you're the three musketeers of righteousness in our crazy world today. And, gentlemen, I'm wondering, the clip that you played with Sasha Latipova and Lara, is that going to be on your website so that we can listen to it and perhaps let other people know about that tape, please?
It may be there. I'm not sure because I never really do that. I have other people do that. I can try to talk to our tech guy. Right now, our tech guy has been down with COVID, but he's right to the point where now he's over it. He should be back to work in a day or two. But I will try to get him to do that. In fact, we have a class, the Doers of the Word Baptist Church, where the Bible and current events, and we take you through it, and we show you how they associate one to the other. And I think we're going to be showing that film, because it's 55 minutes long in the church at one of our classes at the afternoon.
Oh, that would be wonderful, because, see, that's something that if I could take it, spread that around here, especially to the New York City media, and believe me, they don't even know about the Brunson brothers, which has disappointed me greatly, so I have no idea from where these people are coming from, another planet. But that would be wonderful, because this way that would be such excellent, excellent foundation for them to get off their butts.
I'll tell you what you do. Going on. We'll have, you stay in the line, and when Craig, when our board op, he can tell you how to get a hold of that. He can tell you how to find that.
Oh,
so just
well,
stay
thank
on there.
You. Thank all you righty. So much, and God bless you all. Thank you.
You too. God bless. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yep.
Jeff in Cleveland.
Let's go back to Cleveland. We've got another Jeff. Jeff, you're in the air. Hello, Jeff in Cleveland. Hello. Hello.
We may have lost Jeff.
Okay.
This is Dennis.
Who is it?
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry about that. Just thanks for taking my call. God bless you guys. You do a great job. You speak the truth. It's wonderful. I was thinking about what I wanted to talk about, but what you were saying about global warming and all that and how they say all the sea changes and all that, that's just garbage. I've seen pictures. They're 100 years old, you know, in harbors from the ocean. And, you know, they're the same. They take a picture of it today. And it's the same place. You know, nothing's changed. It's all garbage.
Yeah, I know.
Well, the lies, they just keep on coming. They cannot tell the truth.
Well, if I could talk about the truth, and I'll make it quick because I know you got a lot of calls. And this is a very polarizing subject I'm going to bring up here, but I just want to bring it up. And I don't have to really talk about it if you don't want to, but this is something that I don't believe. I don't think it's true. I know it's true. And it's all biblical too. And that's the fact that the earth is flat with a firmament dome around it. And I was just, what you guys have a comment on that.
Well, that would be a real. I know there's a whole lot of people that believe that out there.
I know there's thousands of proofs we could bring up, but I don't want to.
Well,
make
in Job in the Bible, it talks about the earth being a ball hanging in space.
It's a sphere
hanging in space.
Yeah, but here
I've never seen that. Could you tell me the verse on that, please?
I'm trying to think of where it is, but I know I've read it.
Look up.
Someone told
sphere,
me about this, and I've never seen that. Never.
Yeah, Scripture says the Lord hung, he hung the sphere of the earth in space.
Well, let me just
tell you this very quickly. I know a lot of pilots, air pilots, those that fly commercial airlines, and where they have flown, and they've flown around the world, and they'll tell you that there's no edge. They've flown completely from one end to the other, and there's no edge. There's no cutoff area there. And I know those that say, well, when I ask people who believe a flat earth, I say, well, how do you keep the oceans from spilling over? They say, well, it's mountains all around the sides of the earth to keep the water from spilling out.
I don't want to take up a lot of time. I was just wondering if we could possibly have a show sometime in the future about it, because I'm 110% positive that I'm right about this, and I don't want to make a big deal of it right now. But
yeah, well, that's
a chance. I could call you guys or email you or something, and we could talk about it.
Okay. Well, we've done something like that in the past. Yeah, well, you know, we'll listen to you. But we're out of time for right now, so.
Thank you. God bless.
Call the office and leave a message for Pastor Ernie, 440-338-1367. 440-338-1367.
Okay.
All right.
All righty.
God bless you all. I love you.
Okay.
All right,
thank you. Have a good night. Joe, you got 4 minutes to give an invitation. Can you do it?
I sure can. I was trying to think so many ways to approach this. In the Bible Answers for Every Need that you've talked about, a little book, under truth it says in John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. No person can get to God unless he goes through Jesus Christ. And there's a reason, because we've all sinned, Romans 3:23, and we come short of the glory of God. And then Romans 6:23 tells us the wages of our sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. We know even in the Old Testament, Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 59, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. Jesus Christ comes to be our intercessor, our intermediate. He's coming to take sinful man and find a way for sinful man to stand in the presence of a holy God. Jesus Christ came to this earth to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He came to be a substitutionary stand-in for you and me. He went to the cross and paid the price for my sins, for Pastor Ernie's sins, for the sins of all of those who will accept his offer of mercy and salvation. He is the Lamb that shed his blood, the only substance in the universe that is valuable enough to satisfy God. His death, his shed blood, satisfies the wages of sin or death. So when he died in Calvary and his blood was shed, this is how Jesus Christ became the Savior, through his death and resurrection. So to take advantage of this, we have to do something. We have to make a voluntary choice to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And to do this, we have to call upon Father God. We have to ask him to forgive us of those sins, our sins, that put his Son on that cross at Calvary. We have to, with a heartfelt repentance, do this. Not just words, but truly feel sorry that realizing our sins put Jesus on that cross. And when we do that, God will forgive us. Then we can ask Jesus Christ, who is God himself, to come into our life, to be the Lord of our life. We give ourselves to him, and our bodies are a living sacrifice. And if we're willing to do this, then Jesus sends us the Holy Spirit of God, so we have the indwelling of God within us. Jesus is our intercessor to the Father, our way to the Father. And he is the propitiation for our sins. We can now stand in the presence of God because of what Christ did on the cross. We do this. It's called being born again. We become a joint heir with Jesus in everlasting life. We become a son or daughter of the living God and part of the family of God. And we become eternal spiritual beings, our spiritual baptism.
All right, Joe.
Everyone must make. Or that is to spend eternity.
Yeah, Joe, we're out of time. Good night. God bless. And always, always keep
fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.